Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Absolute Worst Podcast. I'm Allison Royer.
And I'm Dana Powell.
Each week in our show, we seek and give free therapy by telling you our problems, asking you to tell us your problems, and then we just pray to God that any of it works out.
We're basically the opposite of Oprah. Huh? Do you know why I'm the opposite of Oprah today?
Because she doesn't have to drive herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell the story, Dana, or do you want to tell it?
Oh, you can. I'm okay. Still on the verge of tears.
So Dana called me today and was like, hey, I'm outside. I seem to have hit a car's bumper off. Mm-hmm. I was like, Dana, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
So I go outside to get Dana, and legitimately, there's the biggest white pickup truck I've ever seen, and its bumper is also laughably large and just laying on the ground.
Yeah.
Dana's just crying in her car. And the whole side of her car is also dented.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about, like, spaces, I guess. But just by looking at it, I'm like, I'm not even sure how that's possible.
No, I'm not either. I literally was looking straight ahead, driving, pulling to the side of the road to drop off equipment because there's never any parking near your house.
Because I don't live in a house, that's why. And I'm sorry, and I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't touch the rear view, like the side mirror. I didn't touch the front panel of the car.
Right.
Nothing. Just the entire front bumper was off.
It looked like, if you're familiar with the movie Tommy Boy, when David Spade goes into the gas station and then Tommy Boy rips the door off the car on accident.
Yeah.
And then he just places it back on. So when David Spade opens it, Tommy Boy's like, what'd you do? That's what it looked like. Like, I actually think that guy knew. It had fallen off a long time ago, and he, like, was just waiting for someone to drive by his car.
Yeah, that's how it feels.
Like, if you hadn't driven by, my kid could be out there. My husband could be pushing the stroller by, and it would have fallen off.
Yeah. I'm like, was it sticking out? Like, I just cannot logistically figure out how it happened.
And this was sort of the final straw for you, right? Because it's not coming at a great time.
It's not. And you know, we've talked on the show, I've been struggling since January, and I'm really, like, had felt like a week and a half ago I was really, like, pulling myself out of it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a whole bunch of horrible things have happened, which then makes me question everything. Like, as I was sitting there, I just sat there for a second. There was no one around, and I wish I was a bad enough person to just drive away.
Right, because Dana left a note.
Yeah.
Which I said, maybe he won't call you.
The whole front of his truck is on the road. And it's why?
I know.
Why anything?
Right.
Why did this happen? Why do I do this podcast?
Right.
Why do I drive here every week, Allison?
Great. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. So when Dana said all this, because it never happens at a time where you're like, you know what I have right now is a bunch of extra money.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Or a bunch of extra happiness.
Yeah. It's not like a lot of great things are going well. And then, like, one little thing comes that's like an irritation. It's always like. And it's always bad when it's like many small things all piled up, because then you're like, it's not the end of the world.
No.
You know, like, no one is fatally ill.
No.
But it is like the seventh in a series of small irritations that sometimes those push us over the edge more than anything. So then I was like, oh my gosh, Dana, I have this thing in our email. I need to pull it up and read it today. And weirdly, it was already pulled for this episode. So I just want to read this really quick because I think it fits the. Where we're at. So it says, good morning, ladies. I saw this and immediately thought of you both. Your podcast has been such an inspiration for me to be a better person and swear like a truck driver. Thank you for being so incredibly honest and real. Love you both. Thank you. That's honestly probably why you do this podcast every week, Dana, because you feel like you're helping people.
Do I?
Do you feel that way, or are you? I think you do feel like you're helping people.
I'm not so sure.
No? Okay. So it was like a little... I don't know, a gif, I guess, but this is what she sent us. It says, as I was pulling into work, I was following this car. The sign in the back window. Oh, sorry. So one more part about Dana's story. So then while she was pulling and waiting for me, so she's waiting for me to go out there so I can grab everything. She just moved a bumper off the car. She's out of the way. She's got her hazards on. She's writing a note, and someone pulls behind her and starts laying on the horn and screaming at her to move her car.
Yeah.
Which it's just like the last straw, right?
Yeah.
So this says, as I was pulling into work, I was following this car. The sign in the back window says, "Learning stick, sorry for any delay." Knowing this information, I was very patient with this slow shifting, and honestly, they were doing pretty well for still learning. Then I asked myself a tough question. Would I have been just as patient if the sign hadn't been there? I can almost definitely say no. We don't know what someone is going through. We don't wear signs that illustrate our personal struggles. We don't see signs taped to people's shirts that say, "Going through a divorce," or "Lost a child," or "Feeling depressed," or "Diagnosed with cancer." If we could read visually what those around us are going through, we would definitely be nicer. But we shouldn't have to see signs and have reasons to treat strangers with kindness. We should do it anyway, whether we know what is going on or not, whether they deserve it or not. Let's give everyone an extra dose of patience, kindness, and love.
Oh, that's nice.
It is nice. And so I can't remember if I talked about this last year, but I go to this women's workshop every year. I think I did talk about it last year.
I think so.
It's this women's workshop. It's really amazing. You kind of go in there. You get, like, people are really vulnerable and honest. There's all these different topics of workshops you can go to. Some of them are sex. Some of them are, like, you know, fear. And I go every year. It's, like, a 9-to-5 day, and it's $20. And I always get a lot out of it. And so one of the things they were saying, because, you know, Dana and I have both, you know, and I think everybody, you go through phases where you're just like, why me? Why me? Why me? Why is this happening? You know, as mm-hmm. this was happening to Dana today, I was remembering the last time when my husband was in the hospital, and I was in an Uber to go get my husband out of the hospital, and my Uber got in a car accident on the way there, which just felt like too much. Mm-hmm. And then when we were standing on the street, like, it was a 3-car accident. It was like rush hour in the morning. I'm off to get my husband from the hospital. And so I was pretty jarred, and the adrenaline was running from the accident. And we were standing on the street, and a car was trying to pull into the alley, and we were blocking it. And he goes, "Move your car." And I don't know why I felt like I would be able to handle this situation, but I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. We just got in a car accident." And he goes, "I don't give a fuck. Move your fucking car." And then I started hysterically crying, and I had a panic attack in a residential area because I do very badly with, like, inequity. When I feel like something is unjust or unfair, or I can't speak reasonably to somebody and they don't have compassion, I lose my fucking mind. And so anyway, at this conference yesterday, this woman had had a stroke 6 months ago, and her whole left side was paralyzed. And right now it's just like her arm kind of is just at a, I know you guys can't see me, but like, put your shoulder up and then almost like a field goal. She can't move her arm now. And she has a PhD in psychology, you know, like, she's like a very accomplished woman, and now she can't do anything for herself. And, and she was just sort of crying while she was talking about it. And she was saying, "Why me? Why me?" And she said that someone had said to her, "Why not you? Why not you? You're capable," you know, like, and there's always those phrases, right? Like, God never gives us more than we can handle, which the next part of that, actually, that people always forget is without his help. Mm-hmm. If you have any sort of, like, relationship with a God or, you know, but there's all those sort of turns of phrases that we say to each other to make ourselves feel better. But when I think about the things that have happened to me, like, I have, like, a random, you know, autoimmune disorder. And when all that happened, I lived alone. You know, I didn't have a husband. I don't have family here. Like, I didn't have anybody to take care of me. And why me? Why me? And it was like, I don't know. Why not me? You know, like, looking back on it, I definitely learned a lot of lessons. I'm okay now. You know, I don't know. Like, it probably feels overwhelming and like a lot to you, but, you know, and I know it's annoying when you're like, look at the bright side, you have arms, but you have a car that has insurance, you know, like, you're not a mom that's driving an uninsured car, or not a citizen here that's going to go to jail, you know, like, mm-hmm. there's a, who knows why you, maybe you're about to get the nicest new car. I don't know. But first, you know, just seeing somebody that was struggling with something that's so much worse than what I have going on in my life, and hearing how she's had to, she was bawling through her whole, like, all the time she was sharing, and she was saying that she had been telling her doctor she really wants to get back to work. And her doctor was saying, you can't because you're so emotional. And that's one of the side effects of the stroke is, like, she cannot control her emotions. She's a psychiatrist. She can't, like, sit there and bawl through people, like, sharing about their lives. And she's so frustrated because, and it's, I feel like we all look at whatever's going on and think, what am I supposed to learn? What's the lesson? Why is this happening? What does it all mean? And sometimes it's like you knocked a bumper off a car. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't mean anything.
Really?
I don't know. I've certainly struggled with that where I'm like, why me? Why me? What does it all mean?
I have an issue, and I've been called out on this before of I have this sense of, like, right and wrong and reaping what you sow. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really do. I can truly, truly, honestly say about myself, I don't think I'm a mean person. Mm-hmm. I think I'm actually very kind and generous, and I will do anything I can to help somebody out.
Right.
So I'm like,
so then why me?
Why the fuck do I deserve this?
Right.
Can't I just get a few months of, like, full employment?
Have you ever experienced something that at the time seemed really bad, but then when you looked back on it, was some sort of a gift, or you learned some sort of a lesson?
Nah.
Stop. You're lying.
I can't think of anything.
Because, like, okay, to give you an example, when I was really sick, I was in Cedars-Sinai for 10 days. I had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of hospital bills. You know, that lasted like 3 years. The drugs that they gave me to fix myself gave me lupus. Like, it was a long, long, long road. I was on disability twice. When I look back on it, one of the things that it taught me, unfortunately, because it's like, I guess, humbling, and maybe this isn't like the fun, this isn't how I wanted to learn this lesson, I guess. Like, I wish I didn't have to deal with all of that to learn this lesson, but it really taught me how to start to ask for help, which, you know, I think refusal to ask for help, in my opinion, is just arrogance. You know, like, I think I can do everything by myself. Like I said, at that time, I was living alone in a major metropolitan city, like, you know, an educated woman, just like living her Mary Tyler Moore life. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, felt very capable and was unwilling to ask people to help me. And at that point, I was so sick, I couldn't do anything for myself. And so I was, like, beaten into a state of reasonableness. And now, you know, my husband is about to go out of town again. He's going to be gone for 2.5 weeks. I'm going to be here with our daughter. I, you know, again, my parents don't live here. His parents don't live here. We don't have an aunt we could just leave her with. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I learned the lesson of asking for help, because otherwise, it's hard, you know. And for all the fucking single ladies out there that don't have, you know, that don't have the father of your child in your life or parents or family to help you, you know, fucking hats off to you, because I find it to be incredibly challenging. Mm-hmm. And I really have to, and it's humbling, because I, you know, sometimes I've asked people to help me and they can't, because for whatever legitimate reason, like, they have to work that night or they have to do something, and it strikes my ego, you know, like, it makes me feel like, oh my gosh, I should never ask anybody for anything else. Like, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe you'll be able to look back on this and be like, oh, that's why that happened.
That I should never drive down your tiny street again.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this will be the time. Maybe we'll switch and we'll go to your house and then I can finally meet your dog. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why this happened today. Mm-hmm. I always think that you're going to feel better after we get through our episodes, because, as I've said before, the best way to feel better about yourself is to help other people.
Well, that's what I thought, and then I knocked a bumper out of it.
We got some feedback from some of our recent episodes. It's so funny. Sometimes we read problems or questions on this show or Absolute Yours, and we never know what's going to strike a chord with people. Let me tell you what has gotten a lot of feedback.
Okay.
Canadian milk bags. People can't even deal with it. This is fake name Roxy. Canadian milk bags are better for the environment, less plastic waste. Canada is all about recycling and the planet. If only the states were as gung-ho about cleaning up our planet, the milk tastes like just like it should, and it takes up less room in the refrigerator when it's just in the bag. Okay. Cool. I guess that's why they're in milk bags.
Yeah.
This one says, I died listening to this episode. This is also in reference to Canadian milk bags. Western Canada said no to bagged milk long ago. You can You can buy a designated milk bag jug to put your milk bags into. We are lazy. I am grateful to have cartons, even though bags are cheaper. By the way, we've also gotten a lot of pictures and feedback on central vacuums. Have you gotten a picture from your mom yet?
No, I haven't asked.
Dana, we want to know what it looks like. You're being rude. Central vacs are super common here, maybe not in the U.S., and it is a vacuum system that is kind of like central air. You plug a hose into the wall, and it automatically turns on, and all of the dirty bits get sucked into a central container that you empty out. My parents still have one, and it is the biggest pain. Think trying to vacuum while dragging around a fire hose. Come to Canada. We will house and feed you and show you the magic of bagged milk. Love ya. Hashtag crazy Canucks. I do want to go to Canada because I want to meet my people. Okay. The other thing that got a lot of feedback. Okay, I have to tell you the story. This is somebody that you know, but I don't want to break their anonymity on the show yet. And if they tell me later that I can, I'll circle back and tell you who it is.
Okay.
Literally this week, I get a phone call and they're like, hey, Allison, you and I have a mutual friend, but I wanted to reach out to you because I know that you're really good friends with this person. And this is going to sound weird, but my husband has a sister, but she was adopted and she did Ancestry.com. And it looks like she's the sister of your best friend.
What best friend?
Didn't I just tell you that I can't break their anonymity?
Oh.
So one of my friends, she was reaching out to me because her sister-in-law, she thinks, is sisters with my friend. And so she was like, do you think that he would be willing to hear the story and, like, maybe they could connect? So number one, I was like, well, it's not Dana Powell, so I know what her answer is.
Yeah, because I'm not your best friend.
No.
That's been established.
No, because you've made it very clear that if you have any you don't want to know about it. Mm-mm. But with him, I just wasn't sure. So I was like, let me think about it. So I thought about it, and I was like, I'm just going to tell him. And he can make, at least it's coming from me and not the person, like, directly reaching out to him, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, I got this call this week. You know, I wasn't sure what you thought. We can totally drop it. I don't even have to reply to her, but, like, it is weird, and she reached out to me, and, like, you might have a sister. He was like, oh, my gosh, this is so exciting. So they spoke, and they're meeting. And
but
she's,
do they know if it's true?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because she had a bunch of, you know, dates and like where she had met her biological mother. Like, they seem to have the same dad.
Okay.
And this was, oh, my gosh, it's, like, amazing. So the other thing that got a lot of feedback was the woman who was asking if she should reach out to her siblings.
Uh-huh.
This person says, fake name Sabrina? Sure, let's go with that. Hi, Dana and Allison. First-time writer, medium-time listener. I'm writing about last week's episode where a young woman wrote in asking if she should contact a sister that may or may not know about her. Her father had an affair with her mother shortly after he married and then later started his family. Dana had really strong feelings about this, as did Allison, of course, given her own family history. While I completely understand her saying that she should leave it be because she'd be making the decision for both her and her sister, whose life she would blow apart, I just can't agree. I lost my sister to cancer a year and a half ago. We were very close. She was my best friend. I feel the loss and mourn for her every day. From experience, I know this loss will never go away. So I would give anything to find out I had another sister out there. I know I can't replace my sister and would never try, but my family isn't large. And the older I get, the more I see how important family is. Also, a former colleague of mine found out a few years back that his dad had a family in Scotland before he emigrated to Canada and had a family here. Neither group knew about the other. They found out after his father died and did meet up. Their experience was really good, so it can work out. Anywho, I felt so strongly on this that I had to write in.
That's nice. I think definitely life experience sort of colors how you would feel about that situation.
Of course.
Because I think, you know, the loss of a loved one certainly would bring forth a yearning for more family.
Well, don't worry, because here's another one. Episode 45. I feel like her reaching out to her half-sister isn't her making... Oh, wait. I can't remember what this is, isn't her making a choice for the unknown half-sister. It is actually giving her an opportunity or choice to meet her. Also, what if one of them ever needed something medically and the other was a match? They could even become best friends or could not. I understand where Dana is coming from, but Dana is only looking at it from the one side. You need to think about both sides. Dana is saying that the writer isn't giving her a choice, but then that means that the writer is just left with no choice either, and the choice was made for both of them without them actually even having the opportunity to decide on their own. Just my opinion, and this is coming from someone who could possibly have a mystery half-sister running around. And if so, I would love that choice to meet her, if so. Either way, I love you both. Keep it up, ladies. Love the podcast and the new video shows on Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
In addition to us starting a dating site, I think we also need to start a list of all the people that want to be contacted by unknown siblings.
No.
Don't you think?
No.
Well, because this has been a really divisive issue, because I thought that was going to be somebody agreeing with you, because we've gotten both in the past. Mm-hmm. We've gotten feedback saying that they side more with me. We've gotten feedback saying that they side more with you. And those people also had really negative experiences.
Yeah.
And were coming from places of like, save yourself the heartache. You know, like I had a horrible, horrible experience with this.
Yeah.
When that person wrote in, she said, and people say, I know you can't answer this, but at least we've been able to hopefully give her a broad spectrum of, you know, scenarios, knowing that some people have done it and it worked, some people did it and it didn't work. Just this week it happened to me and it worked. They're like going to coffee and getting like DNA tests. So
yeah.
Who knows? And for the woman that wrote in that episode, we would love to hear back from you, because mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see what happened, whether you had a good experience or not. I want to know what went down.
Yeah.
Yikes. Are you prepared to answer people's problems?
Yeah.
Okay. If you have anything you want to say to us, if you have questions that you want us to answer.
I just tried so hard. There was so much subtext in my.
If you have a white pickup truck and you need Dana's insurance information. We want you to write into us. At
you know what's so funny on the note? I wrote, I hate your truck.
No,
I'm sorry. Call this number and ask for Dan.
I thought you said, I hate your truck.
No, I hit.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
So you blamed it on your husband, basically.
I just was like,
right.
Here's
my agent.
Yeah, my affairs secretary.
Yeah, exactly. I said.
Because I don't want to deal with it.
No.
I just don't.
No, nor should you. There's one of the best things about being married, I think, is there's certain things that I don't want to do that I'll never do again now that I'm married.
Yeah.
One of them is make the bed.
Oh, really?
I will not make the bed.
Wow.
I hate it. And I'm a pretty neat, clean person.
I hate making the bed and putting away laundry.
Yeah. I mean, Robbie does a lot of laundry. I mean, I'll do laundry, but I will not make the bed. Like, when he's gone for 2.5 weeks, my bed will not be made for 2.5 weeks.
I won't empty the cat litter.
I don't have a cat for that reason, though.
Yeah, because I told my husband, if you want to get a cat, like, I grew up having to do chores like that. I don't want to mess with the litter box.
Right.
And he was like, I will always change the litter.
Now, what are the things that you do that he won't do?
Dishes.
Right.
He'll do it if I ask him to, but it usually causes a wrinkle because by that point I'm annoyed about it.
Right.
And he's the only one that uses dishes as freely as a bird. Like, he gets a new cup every drink he gets. He'll use plates for dinner.
He's like keeping kosher.
Yeah, like Henry prefers paper plate.
Yeah.
So do I, because then I don't have to wash
it. Not Dan Tipton.
Oh, no. No.
That's funny.
Yeah.
If you have something you want to say to us, or you have a question that you feel like we're super qualified to answer, you can email us.
Or if you have anything you want to say to cheer me up about the last 6 months.
I mean, I tried really hard and she's like not really feeling it. You can email us at absoluteworstpodcast@gmail.com or go to our website, absoluteworstpodcast.com, and click on the contact section there. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We get your direct messages there. Don't think I'm not watching you. What else? We want you to like that stuff, like social media, you know how you thumb it up. Whatever, you guys get it. Okay, this is subject line problem. Dear Absolute Worst Podcast Experts. Ooh. I have a problem. I am currently 28 weeks pregnant and I'm trying to stay somewhat mobile despite the 45 pounds I've gained. So I've been attempting to hike. I get all geared up and make sure to empty my bladder before getting in the car to drive the 10 minutes to the trail, only to have to pee the second I get there. So far, the last three times I've gone to Runyon Canyon, I've had to drive home within 15 minutes. Aside from wearing a diaper, is there anything I can do about this? Sincerely, urgently needing to urinate. That's funny.
That's very funny. I am a sucker for all those stupid Facebook ads that are sponsored by Amazon. And it's like 35 of the top sellers on Amazon you'd be embarrassed to buy.
Mm.
Or 20 of the most high-selling, low-priced objects you didn't know you needed. Like, I always am a sucker for those.
And do you buy them?
Sometimes. Okay. Once in a while, I find things that I like.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the times that I did that, one of the things was a basically like inside pee tube.
Excuse me.
So it's like this cup.
What?
That you put inside your pants.
What?
If you have to pee pee and it's got a tube.
What?
So she could just pee pee like a boy in a bush. I mean, that's a literal answer to her problem.
Dana?
What?
Why did you not tell me about this? Have you used it?
No.
Do you have it in right now?
No.
Why would, but you bought it.
I didn't buy it.
Oh, you didn't buy
it. No, I just
saw it. But you just saw that it exists?
And I was like, I mean.
First of all.
Like, if you're at the beach, you don't want to go into those nasty things, and you definitely don't want to sit on it.
So you're going to wear a cup?
If I could wear a cup, that
made it. And that's just going to not show through your bathing suit. You're just going to have a
two. I wear a skirt bathing suit.
It's big enough that you can hide a fucking cup and a large plastic tube.
I don't think it's that big.
You're talking about a catheter.
Like a diva cup.
What?
It's just like a little.
I need to see a picture of this. Sarah's not here today,
yeah,
you
so
guys, because all she does is go on cruises now.
It's like a little funnel thing and it's got a hose.
Excuse me.
And then your hose is your penis, I guess.
What?
I'm just saying I saw it.
I don't even know what to Google.
I don't know what to call it.
Pee cup hose.
Pee standing up.
Standing. You saw this on Amazon?
Yeah, it was marketed for like if you're at a concert and there's not much place to go.
Is it a portable female urinal?
Maybe.
Look at this girl.
Let me see.
This girl put this thing over her vagina so she can pee out.
I mean, that's not the one I saw, but it's very similar, yes.
Okay, so what Dana's describing, it looks like a Pinocchio nose. And ostensibly, you pull your pants down, you stick it over your vagina,
yeah.
And then you pee into it, and it puts a strain, like it then... I'm
it's
so
like putting,
mad.
It's like putting
no one's
one of those
gonna do that. It's
dust
called
pans in the sink, and then all of a
go
sudden,
go girl,
you're...
female urination device.
Listen, if I were 28 weeks pregnant and trying to be on the move and needed a place to pee,
are you fucking joking me? Look at this. Is this the thing you
up.
Saw?
No, that looks more
like a catheter.
Yeah, it's just like for when you go to concerts or you're at the lake or something, you need to pee.
Then
in a bush.
Why wouldn't you just pop a squat?
She clearly doesn't want to pop a squat.
Now, let me tell you something. You've really taken me to the mat on what you've deemed to be bad advice over the course of this podcast. And I have to say, that is some of the worst advice you've ever given.
This is?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Because we want to know what my solution to her was?
Yeah.
Go to the fucking gym. Go to the gym. Walk on the treadmill.
But
pee as
she,
much as you want.
Maybe she doesn't have a gym membership. And she that's
buy
why
one
she goes,
for $8 a month. You can go to like LA Fitness.
It's not $8 a month.
It's $15.
There's sign-up fees. Then you're in a contract. She's not going to want to go to the gym right after she has a baby.
Oh, my God. Yeah, then you put your membership on hold.
Yeah, this is $15 and she can pee at the side of the street.
How would you... You're telling me you wouldn't call the police if you saw a pregnant woman with, like, a plastic hose over her vagina in Runyon Canyon pissing on the side of the...
No, I'd be like, been there. Get it, girl.
Yeah. I don't even, could you squat when you were pregnant? She probably doesn't have the balance to pull
this
off.
Yeah, I don't think.
It's not reasonable.
She doesn't have to squat with that. There's no squatting with that. You can do it standing up.
Yeah, but now you have to go under your fucking baby bump and like hold a fucking cup there and try to pee? Why does she have to go to Runyon?
I don't ask her. I don't prefer Runyon.
Is that where
busy.
She even said
There's,
she was?
It is. Yeah.
It smells like dog shit
There's
at Runyon. Don't
poop
go there.
And snakes.
And all, yeah, it's not healthy for your pregnancy.
I'm not mad
at snakes.
I'm not mad at her for wanting to be mobile. No. But I am mad at you for not seeing the reasonability in this object.
No, I want her to, listen, I'll sign her up as a dependent on my gym membership. So tell her to call me. You can go to so much free exercise, it's not even funny.
Yeah, if you want to do yoga outside in the park and let goats jump on you. That's a real thing here.
I'm going to tell you
something.
That's
not even a joke.
It is a real thing, and it's at my favorite yoga studio that I don't go to anymore because it's in West Hollywood when I used to be single.
I would not want the yoga parts. I would just want to snuggle the goat.
Well, we have a lot of things on our bucket list because I sent you and Jillian. I want to do the...
aerobic...
I want to do the aerobic trampolines.
Yeah.
That's happening. Is she back from her thing yet?
Yeah,
I think she is.
Got back, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm texting you guys again because I want to go.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, today
although
I'm
guess
in
I
a,
can because my husband's going to be gone for 2.5 weeks.
Also, I'm in a bad mood. And
July. July. July, it's definitely happening. Oh, my.
I think I'm going to go home and, I was going to say I would take a bath because it sounds lovely, but my bathtub is so little and stupid. I'd probably just drown myself.
Do you know that I spend a lot of time at work Googling perfect bathrooms?
Yeah, I think a bathtub is like the biggest luxury.
Oh, yeah.
Have.
Yeah. And it's got, I don't like the freestanding ones. I want it to be huge and like in a wall.
Yeah.
Like a jacuzzi.
I like it to have jets. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And I want to be able to lay in it and the water cover my boobs, which
that's not a tall order. That's a tall order.
Yeah.
Yeah. I offered Dana scotch today. Do you want some? Did you ever take that bottle?
I didn't, no.
Do you want, after this episode, do you want me to pour you a glass?
I'm not sure.
Do you want to put us on pause so you can have some scotch?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I don't really like the taste of scotch.
You're
and
an
also,
idiot.
I already hit a truck on the way here.
Great point.
Without alcohol.
Great point.
It was parked.
Yeah.
It wasn't even moving.
Message received.
Okay.
This is also subject line, real inventive problems. Dear Allison and Dana, I'm not rich. At least I don't think I am for the median income in the city that I live in. I'm doing okay. But I am moderately successful at what I do and have some disposable income. Half of my friends are saddled with spouses and children, so their income and free time is non-existent. The other half are broke-ass 20-something actors who can't afford anything. So as a result, I spend a lot of my time meeting groups of people at various escape rooms around the country. It's an easy and fun way to have a task-oriented interaction with people with disposable income for an hour at a time. But eventually, you escape that room. You go your separate ways and you never see those people again. I keep considering going on some sort of adventure tour of India or the Galapagos and being crammed into a group with a tour guide, but my friend thinks this is a stupid idea. She's typically a judgmental monster, so I'm pretty sure this is me. I'm not sure if I should listen to her. How do I befriend rich people with disposable income to socialize with and to join me in adventures? Please don't recommend improv classes. I get it. It's very social and they're relatively expensive to sit in an empty room with chairs for several hours. For personal reasons, it's not an option. Thanks, moderately successful Samuel.
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
I think you should go on adventure tours. Why would you not?
The only thing that I... One of the things that would hold me back from that...
Murder.
The obvious side effect of murder.
Uh-huh.
That's one.
Uh-huh.
The second is... First of all, it's not how I want to vacation personally. I don't like a lot of activities. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but this person clearly does. If you go to escape rooms with strangers, you like that sort of thing.
Okay, so that's one thing.
Yeah.
Like making sure that it's the trip that you want to do. Okay. The second thing is, what if you hate all the people on the trip?
Yeah.
Now you're stuck with them for 10 days or whatever it is. Like, yeah. How can you filter it to be not... You know, 80-year-old retired couples like my parents. Like, my parents do a lot of these trips.
Yeah.
And they tend to be with other retired people, you know? So
why couldn't your friend have fun with your parents? I feel like I've definitely met people of different ages, but we're all doing something we chose to do.
And I also get the sense that he wants to... I mean, sure. I'm not saying that people that are older aren't fun, but if you're the only younger person on like, you know what I'm talking about, where there's like retirement trips, right? Mm-hmm. Where everybody on there, like I feel like there's certain cruise lines and things like that where everybody's going to be much older. So you might not be ziplining with them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so how
but
can...
I feel like you can target, you can...
But how? Like, how would you filter that?
Well, I mean... You know, a bunch of old people aren't going to go white river rafting.
What about like a yoga retreat in Costa Rica?
Okay.
What?
I mean, that doesn't sound fun to me.
I would love to do that so bad.
I mean, I would love to go to Costa Rica.
I would love to do a yoga retreat in Costa Rica.
Why?
Because I am all about being healthy, but I don't have the wherewithal to do the planning that's necessary to do that. So I took a one-on-one Pilates course this week with a young person, this very young, adorable Pakistani girl who is very young and very fit and very cute. And so I wobble my fucking ass in there, and she's like, so what are your goals for the day? And I'm like, I want to lose like 40 pounds in like an hour. Is that possible? So she started asking me what I eat. She's like, oh, you know what I do? This is the best way to start your
already
day.
Already too invasive. I've already left the gym. I don't know. What kind of brush do you use? Your hair is a mess. I'm out.
She's like, I like to just in the morning, I just have oatmeal with a spoonful of ghee. And then
of what?
That's what I said. I'm like, what's ghee? I continue to not know what it is.
No, I literally, no,
I'm
going to
look it up. I'm going to look it up. She's like, with a spoonful of ghee, and then I'll just mix an egg in it. I'm like, I'm
a raw egg?
No, she cooks the egg, but she cooks oatmeal on the stove. She puts it, okay, this is, oh, it's called, it says clarified butter. I'm into butter. Why is it ghee? What does this mean? Ghee is a class of clarified butter that originated from the Indian subcontinent. What? It is commonly used in South Asian and Middle Eastern cuisines, traditional medicine, and religious rituals. Why?
I don't know.
Why can't I just use butter?
Overwhelmed already.
That's how I felt. You know, I didn't make it. She said, it's not a big deal. It's super easy. You just cook some oatmeal, put a teaspoon of ghee in it, and then cook an egg in it.
What do I have to do to get ghee?
I'd probably go to Whole Foods. I mean, it can't be that hard. But already, that's too much. I don't go to stores.
Yeah.
This isn't the point. The point is, do I want to go to a Costa Rican yoga retreat? Yes. Do I want to go to Whole Foods to buy ghee? No.
Do I want to go to Costa Rica? Yes.
Sure.
Do I want to be forced to move on a relaxing vacation?
No. What's he going to do?
I think he should find something he would enjoy and take a trip.
All right.
I think that's how you meet people.
Okay. Can you do it in a way? Because I also feel like he wants to have friends afterwards. So can you find other people that are going from your town, or is that not possible?
From your town? Here's what I think. When you try to organize a bunch of people to do a trip or something, you're always going to get a finger in the butthole and end up paying for something. Even when you go to dinner with a bunch of friends, Dan Tipton used to be that guy that was like, I'm going to break out my calculator and the receipt. And we had a huge fight because I was like, we always get effed up the bunghole.
Yeah.
We always end up paying more than what we spent.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, I don't want to ask them for more. They gave what they gave.
I'm with Dan Tipton. I don't fucking argue about money. I won't do it.
Well, then don't take the receipt.
What?
Don't take the receipt. Don't be in charge of gathering
the
money.
Oh, no, I would never do that. Oh, that's what he does.
That's what he does.
Yeah, you gotta tell him to stop it.
No, 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 stand down, my friend.
Stand down. Stand down, for sure.
So now we don't
do that.
And if the receipt comes to the table and he looks like he wants to grab it, I shoot him a look.
Mm, smart.
Yeah.
You're like, and if he gets out of line, I just take my car, I go right for the bumper, and I just show him who's boss. Well, I'm excited. Can you imagine going on a vacation? See, I
find the same thing. Like, I have never traveled very much in my life at all. I've been to like Arkansas and Texas, and New York a couple of times.
Sure.
And I really want to travel more. And there's so many opportunities now to get like really cheap flights and quick things.
Oh, totally.
And, you know, I would love to be able to just kind of pick up and go for like 3 days, but I am in his same position where either all my friends have kids and can't like just up and leave, which I can't necessarily either. You know, I would have to find
your
the right
kid's
time.
Also older.
He's a little older, and I would have to find the time and whatever. And then that coinciding with somebody else's free time,
right?
You know, just never happens. And then my other friends who would have the freedom of time are dirt poor, young.
Right. You know? Well, you and I are going on a vacation.
Where?
We're going to Boston.
That's not a vacation. We're going for work on my birthday.
Yeah, that's a great point. Hey, don't forget, you guys, if you want to celebrate Dana's birthday with us, we're going to be in Boston on, what's our show's September 2nd at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
At Laugh Boston. I'll be honest, I don't remember how to find the information, but I'm going to find it, and we're going to put it on our Instagram, and we're doing a live episode of this podcast, so go to Laugh Boston. I know for sure tickets are on sale. Dana yelled at me because she said I did an ugly link on my Facebook.
It was ugly.
But, you know, I don't know how to do things. So September 2nd, Laugh Boston, go Google it, meet us in Boston for Dana's birthday. Somebody please bring a cake. I'm very busy.
And then I'll look at it and cry and go, I wish I wasn't fat and I didn't want to eat that whole thing.
Dana, that's not true. You're losing LBs like crazy.
I'm losing them. I think this truck situation
is probably going to be good for like another 10 pounds.
Oh, I guarantee you it is.
That's why it happened. When you're like, why me? You're like, God is motivating you.
I will say, I was looking at the scale this week, and I'm trying not to be a scale monger.
Okay. Like, where, you can't do it every day.
Yeah.
Once
my
a
mom
week.
Literally, or this person I know literally weighs
strong save.
And weighs every single morning.
No, you
and
can't
do that.
And
it's just so mentally unhealthy because your body weight can fluctuate 3 to 5 pounds daily.
Yeah, mine's like 30 pounds.
And so I was listening to last podcast on the less, and Henry Zebrowski, those guys are so funny. You think we're inappropriate.
Oof, oh, good. Okay.
Holy cow. Anyway, they're so funny. And Henry Zebrowski was saying he's one of those guys that has a scale by his toilet. And he was like, you want to know why? And one of the other guys was like, I know why, you're one of those guys. And I'm thinking, like, you get up, you go to the bathroom, and you weigh like to be as thin as possible, right? And you take off all your clothes, whatever. He says somewhat like that, but he has it right by the toilet because he gets up, he weighs, he takes a poo-poo,
stop,
and then weighs himself again.
Stop. That's hilarious.
That's not healthy.
Why?
Mentally?
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
Oh.
Not if you're really trying to lose weight. Anyway, I was sitting here thinking, because there's been various times when we're recording. I apologize for this episode. I know I'm not funny and this is supposed to be a comedy podcast. And I was, as I've done several times while you've been talking, hid behind my sound thing.
Yeah.
And I was just staring at my fingernails. And then I was thinking, well, this really set me back. Not feeling good about it, but I guess I'll probably lose another 10 pounds out of depression.
Wait to see the silver lining.
Yeah.
Good. I bet you
I haven't lost any weight for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, hey. So it was like a Kickstarter.
So this really knocked me down.
God's like, you're welcome, Dana.
God's like, punched me in the face and was like, you're welcome.
I know.
Go be sad and lose weight.
Some of the things
I say on this show, I would never say to people's faces.
Why?
Because I'm not that kind of person.
Which thing would you not say, though?
Oh, there's so many things we talk about on this show that I wouldn't say. I wouldn't tell people I was, like, losing weight because I'm depressed.
Oh. Oh, that's hilarious.
I have had people recently being like, I ran into someone yesterday and she goes, listen, I don't want to sound like I'm checking you out, but girl, you look good.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thank you. And she was like, what are you doing? Like working out, less portions. And I was like, basically just like depression and sadness and spite. And she just looked at me because she's not like my best friend.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, I'm kidding. But I wasn't.
Well, I certainly don't advocate for you being depressed.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. Well, and like, people, my husband's like, well, I just don't want you to starve yourself. I'm like, have you looked at me?
Wow.
I am not the kind of human that would starve myself.
Okay.
And also, if I did, it would take 9 months for any of us
well,
to see
don't forget, anorexia is contagious, so you do want to watch your back.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I've been fat since I was 3. I ain't going anywhere.
Wow. I don't really appreciate you calling yourself fat.
I usually don't. I find that I want you to kind of stop it. I only do on this show for some reason.
What is happening?
I don't know.
You know what? This show allows you to be some like weird version of yourself.
Like I would say it to you. And sometimes when we're doing this show, it just feels like it's me and you.
Yeah, that's, I mean, because it is until it
but
exists
I wouldn't
in the
see,
world.
Like, I wouldn't meet someone in Canada and shake hands and be like, hi, I'm depressed and I've lost almost 50 pounds because of it.
Can I just ask you a personal?
Also, I'm sorry. Just for the record, I'm not like can't get out of bed. I'm just a little bummed. Depression is a heavy word to use because I know that's very serious.
Okay.
I'm not at that.
Thanks
point.
For the qualifier.
You're welcome.
Do you want to now tell us something that you like about yourself physically?
Oof. I did get some new mascara that looks nice on my eyelashes.
Your eyes look very pretty. Good job.
Thank you,
I'm so glad that you didn't struggle with that.
Yeah, I read this article that said it was smarter to buy trial size mascaras.
Oh.
And I was like, that seems dumb, though. It seems too expensive. But I was like, no, because then I can get a couple of different kinds. And sometimes you're supposed to switch up what you use.
I love that. Oh, did you? What's happening? You ate the microphone?
I just made myself sick. And the stupidness of what I was saying.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And in the same way, what was the other thing? Oh, in the same way that honey funds are very divisive.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on plastic surgery? Like, would you ever do anything, either Botox, fillers, anything medical?
Is this related to a honeymoon? I thought you were going to ask me about, like,
Because I think, because I don't know if this is really as divisive a topic as.
Are you going to start a GoFundMe for me to get.
Absolutely not.
Plastic surgery?
100% not.
What do I need fixed, Allison?
No, I don't think you do. I'm asking what your thoughts are on that sort of thing.
Oh, I think if you want to do it, I don't care.
But personally.
I don't think I have the fortitude.
Okay, good. But you really don't care if other people do it? Like, if I was like, so Dana, I'm going to go get a boob job. You would have no judgment
reduction
about that?
Or
I don't know, something that
lift?
Makes them not,
no,
so I don't need a belt.
No, I would have no problem with that.
You would have no problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I get a little judgy, I think.
Oh, you do? You have
sometimes
a problem with it?
And not, I think ultimately I want to be really open-minded and believe that it is people's choices, because it is. But I also can't release myself from the idea of, and I know this doesn't help, or maybe, you know, of, because I sometimes, we live in Los Angeles, I've seen many people either come to me with it or they've already had it or whatever, and I'm always just like, you're a beautiful girl, you know, like I guess I get a little disappointed, you know, but it's not my role to tell somebody what, you know, if it's going to help your self-esteem or whatever, but I just makes me want to shake people and go like, you're a beautiful, attractive person.
I think if it
with
makes,
a lot to offer,
if it helps their self-esteem,
I know, I just have
anyone,
a hard
really
time with
care
it. I know.
Like, I've definitely been having a battle the last like 9 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think my nose is getting bigger? You're the fifth person I've asked this, so I'm serious.
I think that literally everybody's nose and feet get bigger. That is a real thing.
Yeah, I think my nose
is. Have I noticed
better
that your nose has gotten bigger? 100% not.
Mm.
Not even a little bit. I'm not lying. I'm looking dead in the eyes. No. In your beautiful trial mascara eyes, mm-hmm, I don't think your nose has gotten bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend that
is
was.
Is it because there's tear streaks on my cheeks and it's taking away from the visual? Is this the worst show we've ever recorded?
Oh, stop it. Don't be stupid.
Well, it might be.
They're all the worst. That's our whole shtick. That's the whole deal. I had a girlfriend that wanted to do, and this is why I was bringing this up. I don't know. It's all, you know how nothing makes sense when
like
it comes out
a
of my mouth.
F for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She wanted to do, I don't know, one of those sort of like gastric bypass or something.
Oh,
and
yeah,
she was telling me about it.
I know
it.
People who have done that,
and
for sure.
I was struggling so much because she could see right through me. She's like, Allison, I know how you feel about this. I know you don't want me to do it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I totally support you in whatever you want to do, but you're right, I don't want you to do it.
Yeah.
I think if you want to get healthy, I totally support you. I'm just so afraid. And maybe this is why, because I have seen a lot of the other side. I had one of my girlfriends is stunning, and she was stunning when she got the fucking liposuction. She had the worst fucking experience. Her thighs were all bruised and battered. Her legs have never looked the same. Mm-hmm. You should have seen this girl in a bikini when she got the liposuction. She's like she's like a fucking pinup model. She's stunning.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't even be able to look at her and be like, oh, I can see why. She was a beautiful, fit girl. And she got liposuction on the side of her hips, where all of our hips stick out, because that's what hips do. And it was so fucked up that now it's like, it literally looks like somebody took a melon scooper down the side of her thigh.
No.
And she's still thin, you know, but like, she can't wear a bikini because she's had 4 or 5 surgeries since then to try to fix it. And it's just such a tricky thing because, like, if it goes, because we've also seen, I have friends that have like fucking beautiful fake tits, you know, you're just like, wow, those look amazing, you know, but you just don't know what you're going to get. And it just makes me so nervous.
Well, I certainly put that type of surgery in a different category. I guess it's not, but then plastic surgery, because I'm thinking like face work or whatever.
But still.
But like, I definitely have people in my life who have had those kinds of surgeries because that, you know, obviously usually that's something that runs in the family, and no one in my immediate family, but someone in my family in the early days of stapling,
yes,
had that, and it messed her up forever, and she almost died a couple of years ago because they could not get the whole of her stomach to stay open.
Oh my God.
And she was basically starving.
Oh my God.
And she got so thin, and they were like, we have tried everything we can to keep this open. Ugh. We don't know what we're going to. So with that, and like, I also am a very firm believer, because I have struggled with my weight my whole life and I've been surrounded by it. There's a lot of mental things that, and emotional things that come along with it.
Yes.
Whether they're founded or not, that stuff doesn't change. It's like, it's like I spoke, on a previous show about how Dan Tipton, I think, didn't I? How Dan, I said, I get mad now when people are starting to notice me and be flirty and stuff, because I'm like, I'm the same person I was.
Right.
And I have a real chip on my shoulder about it. And his thing to me was, you have more confidence when you lose weight. You carry yourself different. Mm-hmm. That makes people approach you differently. Mm. You know, he was like, can't you see it as a positive where it makes you feel better, and that's why you're received differently.
Right.
So there are a lot of like emotional issues and mental issues that come with something like that. And when you have a surgery like that, it all happens so fast. There's no time to deal with that.
Right.
And I've seen that struggle too.
I just want to, keep going.
No, that's all I had to say.
Well, I just want to be clear that this was not anyone's question. This nice man asked if you should go on vacation, and we've had a 45-minute conversation about plastic surgery.
Yeah, I'm not sure why.
Did anybody ask about that?
No. Well, I asked if you thought my nose was bigger.
I got
it.
You know
how
what?
It started?
You know what? Thank you for making me feel better, because let's just say that it did. I really needed to talk about it, apparently. I think I get caught up with, because I think there are so many risks to have an elective surgery.
Yeah.
On something that's cosmetic, you know, it's just about vanity. It's just about how you look, regardless of whether or not
there's health involved when you're talking about someone who's morbidly overweight. I mean, you have to be a certain amount of pounds overweight to even qualify.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is a scary thing, but you know what? It works for some people.
I know. I need to be... You know how you were saying this is your year of vulnerability? Yeah. For me, this has to be my year of being less judgmental. Even if I think my intentions are right, and that's where it gets like, we've talked about like self-righteous indignation, where even if I think this might be the best for somebody, you know, and it's coming from a place of love, it's really my whole year has been about allowing people the dignity of their own experiences. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I have had a lot of experiences in my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. And I can also attest to all the people that tried to keep me from doing things that were well-meaning, that said this is a bad idea and I wouldn't listen to them. You know, like, it's like you're trying to save people from whatever. And it's like, I had to have those experiences to become the person that I am. Mm-hmm. And I really need to fucking figure it out now before my kid gets older and starts hating me because I don't let her have any experiences.
Right.
Because I know what's going to happen.
Well, you don't really.
I do.
You know what happened for you.
And I know what's going to happen for her.
I mean, you know, I would say using the gastric bypass as an example, for some people, maybe was the worst thing they ever did in their life. And for some people, it was life-changing and the best.
Right. Listen, if you've had any surgeries, can you please reach out to us and let us know? Because I'm going to work at being less judgmental and letting people.
I feel like this last year, I've said the last year was my year of vulnerability. And I've said that I definitely feel like I've seen a lot of growth in my life and a lot of really wonderful things. And I also feel like I've been punched in the face a lot.
Yeah.
So let's find a new goal for my year.
Okay. What's your goal going to be?
I don't know, Allison. You know, I get weird about like saying speak to the universe of what you want, because I have done it where career-wise, I've been like, this year I just want to audition for pilots. Mm-hmm. I just, because it's hard to get to that point. Mm-hmm. So then that year I got auditions for pilots. And I was like, oh, no, dummy, I want to book a pilot.
Yeah,
yeah. And I want to test.
Yeah.
And then the next year I did it. And I was like, oh, no, stupid.
You're not hearing me.
I want to book a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And love it and mm-hmm. enjoy my. So that happened then. And
I want the pilot to be picked up.
I want it to be picked up. I don't want to get fired. I want to like what I'm doing. I want to look cute.
Yeah.
I need to make such specific. So now I'm worried about making like the year of too general.
Okay. This is. Can I play like devil's advocate to your desires?
Yeah, I'll be honest too. I could even use a central vacuum system. Like, I do think it would be nice. I have a small house. I don't think I have long to haul that hose.
We're the queen of the cough laughs. We cannot laugh without coughing.
We've both been coughing for like 6 years.
I'm on an antibiotic right now. Things are going great. So is it possible, if mm-hmm. I could just therapize you for a minute? I don't know if you know, I'm one of the co-hosts of a very successful therapy podcast.
I've heard.
We're 28,000 listeners away from our goal.
On the road.
Is it possible that since you set all those specific goals for yourself and then reached them and found that like emotionally you weren't necessarily like better, is it possible that maybe you need a less like tangible goal? Like maybe your goal should be, hey universe, please make me spiritually and emotionally healthy despite the outside circumstances.
Oh, that's nice.
Have you actually liked something that I said? I'm blown away.
Your eyes bulge out of your head.
I am blown away.
Say it again.
Okay. Dear universe, please help me to be emotionally and spiritually healthy regardless of what my circumstances are.
Yeah, I like
that. What episode is this? This is 60 episodes in. I finally helped Dana.
I know. And you know what the shit fuck part of it is?
What?
Fucking Sarah's not even here to write it down.
Because Sarah just goes on cruises.
She just goes
at this
on
point.
Cruises now.
Sarah is the physical manifestation of what we wish our lives were.
I know.
Just young and cruising
young and
around, literally.
And adorable.
I know.
And still so sweet, where she's like, should I bring my computer?
I know.
Like, no. You know, she called me and helped walk me through our website stuff.
Are we live yet?
I don't think we're live,
okay.
But we're paid.
Okay.
We're getting a new website, guys.
Yeah, no big deal.
Clearly Sarah built.
Yeah. Wow, I'm so excited. Okay,
yeah,
maybe it'll go live this week. Okay.
Me.
I have to email what to you? Oh, what I just said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is recorded podcast. We'll be able to listen later and write it down.
I know, but I'm a visual person.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm so excited.
I want to take a mental photograph.
Yes.
Because I need to repeat that when I knock the bumper
off.
It's
your new mantra. Dana, I really want for you this year, this is perfect finale.
Okay.
I really hope for you this year that you are able to be spiritually and emotionally healthy regardless of your outside circumstances.
Because that leads to happiness.
That's right.
Right?
That's it. It's being content regardless of what's happening around you. Because what I've learned, and I think what you've learned, is when we focus on the tangible, I mean, you know, I've struggled with it. I talk about it constantly. I know in the gut, in the depths of my soul, that if I own a house, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be like, quote unquote, better. It's not going to fix the whatever issue I have.
Yeah,
right?
No, because if I lost 100 pounds, I'm still going to have problems.
Right. You know, like, oh, because I know, like, as I've looked back, like, oh, once I'm in a relationship, oh, once I have a baby, oh, once I get this job. I've said this the other day. I've been various weights mm-hmm. and have had various amounts of money my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember a single time where I looked at my weight or I looked at my finances and I said, this is enough.
Yeah, no.
Not once.
Yeah.
I have consistently made more money since the time I started working when I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've always made more.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been enough.
Yeah.
I've been less weight. I've been more weight. It's never been enough.
Same, yeah.
I gained 50 pounds when I had a baby. I lost all 50 pounds. I didn't take one day to celebrate that. I was like, this sucks. It's terrible. Why am I so fat? Mm-hmm. I'm the same size I was, which I guess was, you know what? It's constant discontentedness mm-hmm. with the outside stuff. And the reason that you drive your fucking ass over here, ripping bumper after bumper after bumper off all these cars,
don't make
me
cry.
I think that what we found here is when we give of ourselves and we help other, it's because I went to this workshop yesterday. I'm like on a spiritual fucking mountaintop. I'm telling you.
Good.
When you give of yourself and you take the time out of your day, you basically take time out of your week every week to come here and help other people. That's what we're trying to do, whether or not it's successful. But your intention is good, yeah. Right? Like you come here to try to help people. Now,
I definitely told someone this week that was asking about the podcast, you know, saying they were thinking about starting their own podcast and, you know, work-wise, how hard is it? And I always say, you know, if I had known how right. much work, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I realized in that conversation that I started this to have a project for me and you to do and have fun and maybe help our careers.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's switched into, like, it's not about my career.
Listen,
anymore.
My career's not going anywhere. It's never going to get better. I want to thank you for trying.
I've made your career better.
How?
I got you a couple paying jobs.
Oh, yeah. Great point. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
That's helpful. I forgot. But anyways. This, you know, if it's hard to not have expectations, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, listen, would I love to quit my job and do this podcast 7 days a week? Yeah, that'd be fucking awesome, you know? If that doesn't happen, does that mean this wasn't fulfilling? No. You know, like if I wasn't getting something from it, I wouldn't be doing it, you know? And sometimes that thing, you know, would it be great if it could pay? You know, I did my one woman show for free all over the country. Do I regret that? No, I got to have that experience. I think I built a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell that story. It lived. A couple people saw it. I'm moving on, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the thing I think that's hard about what we do is, if I could look at what I've made as an actor over the course of my life, I probably still didn't make more annually than I did when I worked at a candy store when I was 15 years old. You know, like it's not working out, you know, by anybody's standards. I'm not paying, you know, I don't have a career in a way that I can support my family through being artistic. And I think we both make sacrifices to do these things, but it must feed a part of our soul. Otherwise we wouldn't do it, you know? Mm-hmm. You can read it in my book, going to a one-day workshop once a year and being a spiritual guru.
That's I think the title is long. It doesn't flow.
Oh, I'll work on it.
Okay.
This has been great. If you have any mantras you want to send us, please do. Don't forget to rate us and review us.
If you hate this episode, just delete it.
Yeah, move on. What do we care? What do you care? Seriously. If you're the owner of a Chevy truck, just reach out to Geico. We'll send you the...
I don't have Geico. Okay. Reach out to Dan.
Reach out to Dan Tipton. He'll be fine.
Do we need to apologize for anything?
I don't think I do.
I don't think I do.
Well,
it's
relative.
I mean, do I have to tell Grandma I'm sorry I knocked the bumper off
the
truck?
No, I mean, I feel like you already told that guy, so.
I did. I wrote it on the note. I hit your truck. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I should have added, if you could see me, I'm definitely crying. I'm probably not going to be a lot of fun today.
Oh, boy.
But I didn't put all that.
When we're done with this episode, let's go out and see if the truck's still there.
No, because then if I run into him, then
you don't want to go back to the scene of the crime. You're right. If anything we've learned from the murder shows, it's you don't go back to the scene of the crime.
You always get caught.
Smart.
Yeah.
All right. Do you feel better?
Marginally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good job.
Okay. Good job, you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, everyone have a great week.
And really be careful out there on the road, gang.
Guys, really watch where you're going, even if you're looking straight ahead driving and there's nothing obstructing your view.
And don't forget about the girl that started this episode off by saying, I forget, she just says basically like, be nice to people. You never know what they're going through. Don't be a fucking asshole.
That was nice.
Don't be a fucking asshole.
Don't pocket somebody leaving an I hit your truck note when they really would rather just drive away and know that they can't.
Leave notes for each other.
Please do. All right, Allison.
All right.
I'm sorry that you have to love me and accept me.
You know what? It's not easy, but I'm willing to do it.
Bye.
Bye. Shut up and sit down.